Well, as you might have heard us talking about yesterday, the riots at the Don Dale detention facility in Darwin have seen opposition politicians call for youth justice and youth corrections to be handed back to the Department of Corrections rather than being overseen by territory families. Here is independent MLA for Araluen Robin Lamley talking to me yesterday.
The problem is, Paul, that the transfer from corrections to juvenile to territory families of juvenile justice was probably done too quickly. There was no transition period really of any significance. Obviously, territory families are incapable of managing kids when they are out of control, and you need that more experienced officer, such as a corrections officer, to manage these very acute crises that do occur in these detention centres.
Robin Lamley talking to me yesterday. But would returning the youth corrections portfolio back to corrections really work, especially given corrections is sort of going through its own reform agenda at the moment and has had problems for quite some time with staffing and strikes over the EBA agreements? Scott McNann is the NT's Corrections Commissioner, and he's in Alice Springs this week meeting staff. Scott, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul.
So first of all, and I know you've only been in the job for a short time, but what's your take on opposition and independent MLAs saying that the youth justice and youth correction space should be handed back to corrections?
So thanks for that, Paul. I think obviously I'm new to this position. This is week six for me. I'm really pleased to be here in Alice Springs first and foremost. So I don't have a view. I'm aware of the incident over the last few days. I did view it the same as the rest of the general public. What I can confirm at this point in time is I have not been asked by my minister or cabinet to consider taking youth justice back into my portfolio. So until that happens, I'd rather wait and make comment.
Now, you've previously worked, though, in the youth justice space, I understand, over in Scotland. What was your experience, I suppose, in that space over in Scotland?
So I started my prison career, actually, in a young offenders institution. So I've got a bit of experience dealing with youth. I spent 4 years there. I think for me, the key is having a really secure and structured facility. I think making sure that we've got a really busy and purposeful day for the kids. We want to burn some of their energy off and get them into appropriate education and artwork and things that would be interesting to kids. I think they need that intense regime to keep them busy. That's my early views from when I was a young prison officer in Scotland.
What were some of the, problems with the kids you were dealing with? Because one thing you'll hear in the Northern Territory what's mentioned is, of course, these kids are normally from low socioeconomic backgrounds. There's obviously a lot of intergenerational trauma and the like. And oftentimes you'll hear those in management of these kids say, well, there's complex behavioural issues. Were there similar things back in the system that you dealt with over in Scotland?
Absolutely, Paul. I think, that you look at some of the kids and you look at the backgrounds and some of the economic issues and social issues that they've got. Many of them have fallen out of school. They've got low educational deficit. They've had a family breakup. In Scotland, drugs were a main factor, particularly heroin and opiate-based drugs. So we had a whole bunch of issues mixed in, and it really is about identifying individual risk and need for each of the young people, and then trying to put a pathway together to make sure we can address some of their offending behaviour whilst in a supportive environment.
Mm. Now, again, I know you're new to the role, but if we can, I suppose, and I don't know if you're sort of familiar with the Four Corners program that I suppose brought the problems with Don Dale to light, but in there, there were things that raised were issues over the use of tear gas, spit hoods, restraint chairs, and things that the NT government have since removed from the youth justice space. When you were working in Scotland, were those devices, mechanisms available to you? Was there any time when you had to deploy spit hoods or restraint chairs or tear gas on youth offenders?
No, the answer to that question is no, we didn't have gas, and we don't have gas other than, you know, serious disturbances in the UK, but certainly not for youth.
What about, I suppose, restraint chairs and spit hoods and those other devices that
again,
had issues?
The UK didn't operate restraint chairs, but, you know, it's independent jurisdictions that differ in terms of how they apply restraints and things, but certainly not in the UK. We had no restraint chairs.
And was there any, I suppose, reasoning given behind that, or was this just something that wasn't done?
It's just something that wasn't done at that point in time.
The voice you're hearing is that of Scott McNown. He's the NT, well, the new NT Corrections Commissioner. As he said, mentioned, he's been in the job 6 weeks. But I want to actually pick up on something that you did in an interview with the NT News, a comment where you were talking about, I suppose, your previous work, which has been both, I suppose, in the public sector, but also in the private sector. You've said that in some time in your work in the private sector, you've seen things done well there that can translate into the public sector. What did you mean by that? Because I'm curious about the whole idea of a private sector being able to run a jail.
So firstly, I want to address that. I have never been asked by my minister or cabinet to even consider privatisation.
I'm not talking about that. I just
want to make that clear.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair enough. But I'm just saying, what have you seen in there that you think has worked or can be brought over to the public system?
So having had 16 years public sector experience as a prison governor in the UK, and also 16 years in the private sector, I see strengths in both models. So there's some really good things happening in the public sector, but there's some really good innovation in technology and how we design new prisons in the private sector. There's innovations such as the Pups in Prison project when I first came to the territory, where I work in partnership with Assistance Dogs Australia. There's a bunch of initiatives that we've been able to manage to put into the private sector that's been really, really successful. And these are things that I would consider bringing into prisons here in the Northern Territory and getting prisoners involved in those programmes in terms of reparational activities and giving things back to community.
Call me a cynic if you want, but I feel like if given that the private sector seems to be about making money and in the end you're trying to make a profit, how can a private sector really operate a prison when it's about, I suppose, more about rehabilitating people's lives rather than trying to make money off prisoners?
Well, rehabilitation's at the heart of the private sector model, the same as it's at the heart of the public sector model. So we're all trying to achieve the same thing, and that is reduce recidivism rates and ensuring that prisoners come back into society as better citizens, thus protecting society. So, the heart of the model, whether you talk about, you know, money and cost efficiency and profit, we're all trying to achieve the same thing.
Because many might say if a business is just trying to make money, that they would try to cut corners as opposed to the public system, who might be willing to, I suppose, lose a bit on investing in programs. But you're saying, from your experience, that hasn't been the case in the private sector.
It's not been the case in my experience in the private sector, and certainly will not be the case when I go through this whole prison reform project. I'm not looking to cut staffing numbers. I'm looking to get the right staffing numbers against the right operating model.